to have the opportunity to be with you again and to really feel the great presence of the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 15. And while you're turning there, I do want to say how much we love and appreciate your pastor and his wonderful family. They are family to us, but they're also friends. And we appreciate them so very much and love them dearly. And I must say that several years ago when God spoke to us about leaving Central Florida, it's probably one of the hardest decisions we've made. It's hard to leave someplace you love so dearly. And the area, the Central Florida area, in fact, Florida in general, third most populous state in North America, and just an incredible number of people who need God. And as we consider the things that God has allowed us to accomplish and see, we have 348 North American missionary families that are currently under North American mission status. That means they've started a church in the last 5 years. We have about 440 daughter works that have started in the last few years. And then we have about 230 preaching points that have started in the last few years. And so we've got over 1,000 new works in the last 5 or 6 years that have begun in the United Pentecostal Church in North America. And we're excited about that. But, but it's always bittersweet because recognizing that we love this area. We love you, and we miss pastoring so close to the McGuires. In fact, I don't know if I should say this, but, we had a wonderful time. Every once in a while, they would come preach for us, and we'd come preach for them. And in fact, we had a little long-standing joke. We'd give each other a little bit of gas money to help, each other get back and forth, And I think I gave first, and then the next time he gave $1 more than I gave him, and wanted me to know that he takes better care of me than I do him. And, of course, for the longest time, we knew exactly how many times we had been back and forth because we knew the base amount. We knew that every time it was a little, I would always give a dollar more, and then he'd give a dollar more, and vice versa. But, and then maybe at some point we could buy the whole tank of gas. But yes. We were at $6. You kept track. Amen. And we always had great stories, of course. One of my favorite, and I've shared this probably many times, probably shared the last time I was there, but one of my favorite stories was we were away and they were preaching for us. And, we called and said, how'd it go today? And they said, it went pretty good. They were kind of careful to say it, that organ player that you have was just a little, and we said, we don't have an organ player. They said, well, you did today. That was probably the reason why they were a little off. So, amen. So, and my privilege, of course, having preached many years ago, even when you were in a little storefront over by, where was that at? That was a little shopping mall area, kind of a little room, Searstown. And, we were there and preaching a little revival, and during the offering, somebody decided they'd come up and they made their way to the front. And instead of giving the offering in the basket, they laid a $5 bill at my feet. And that was a little awkward, and of course, it was very much so awkward that as they turned around, I quickly grabbed it and threw it in the offering plate and then sat down like nothing had happened. But you just never know what's going to happen in church. Amen. But aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord that is here today? Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, it says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you bow your heads? Lord, I thank you for what we felt here today already. I thank you for the great presence of the Lord that is here, that I feel such a warmth of your presence here today. I pray that you would speak to every life, every heart today. Minister to us. Can you reach out to the Lord and ask him to minister to you today? Jesus, would you minister to us today? Let the rhema of your word speak into our lives and our hearts in the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated today. I want to speak to you for a little while on simply when hope comes calling. When hope comes calling. What is this word hope? What is it? This word called hope. How do you define it? What would be the way that you would define hope? In fact, we all have our very definitions of hope. We have our what we consider hope to be. Well, what would your definition of hope be? What would you call hope? What is hope? You know? Yeah. What is hope? Hopefulness. Well, that's original. What's hope? Somebody tell me, what's hope? Now, don't Google it. Expectation. All right. Expectation. That's hope. Okay. What's somebody else? Hope. What's hope? Don't say H-O-P-E. It's what? Faith unending that something is going to happen. It's an expectation, or what's something else? A desire? Because how do we define hope? I mean, whenever I use it in context, we define it as, you know, I could say, I hope it doesn't rain today. How many would believe with me on that one? Or I hope I get good grades on that test. Now, it would be definitive whether or not you study or not, but immaterially, I hope I get a good grade. I hope I get the scholarship that I'm anticipating. I hope that enough money is in my bank account to take me through to the next payday. I hope, in fact, you know, the definition of the word hope, really, if you could Google it, it would simply say this: a feeling of expectation and desire for certain things to happen. You see, the world describes this word hope, and so when we look at that and we read these words, this great word called hope, yet in our mind, we immediately take it. As we read it in the scripture, we take it to the common denominator of which we define it as being. We anticipate hope as being something or an expectation or desire of things to happen. Yet when I consider today, the Bible's definition of hope may be very different than what we define hope as being. Focus on the family. There were four horrible stories that were distributed in Focus on the Family. In fact, one particular story I want to just bring out today, and a couple of them maybe. But yet, early in March, one morning, Heidi and her 15-year-old, Heidi 15, and her boyfriend Christopher 16. They decided that life was not worth living. In fact, after a short hike down a rugged path on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean near Los Angeles, a teenage couple, they ducked under a hole in a chain-link fence into a narrow concrete spillway known locally as the diving board. And there, before dawn, the couple, they jumped. 150 feet, their bodies crashed down below, and their bodies were found by a jogger later that morning. 2 months later, just a few miles down the road, 14-year-old Amber and 15-year-old friend Alicia also decided that they had had enough. And after tying their wrists together, the two teens walked to the edge of a cliff and jumped. Friends and family knew Amber and Alicia had been dealing with some drug addictions, but they said the girls were making progress and they seemed to be happy. And after their suicidal leap, many of the girls' classmates gathered on the cliff to light a candle, play music, and mourn their loss. But one classmate said it like this: "You know, life, it's just hardly worth living. It just stinks. A lot of teenagers don't know if it's going to get any better. In fact, I guess suicide's their only way out. They feel they can't talk to people. We don't feel like we can talk to our parents anymore. They just don't seem to understand." They don't. You know, the recent study, and I know it's kind of heavy here today, but the recent study from Princeton University documented a dramatic increase in the rate of deaths among the middle-aged. In fact, they found out recently that in their study, they found that the mortality rate, though it had been declining at 2% annually, has now begun to increase since 1999. It's a half a tick up, half a percentage point up every year since 1999. And equally surprising, the causes of the increase of death was not the usual heart attacks or cancer or addiction. Instead, the mortality rise was because of higher levels of suicide and greater numbers of drug and alcohol overdoses, along with alcohol-related liver diseases. Thus, people are increasingly taking their own lives, or likely with reckless disregard of their own health and their safety, such as they are more likely to die prematurely. Furthermore, it said almost as troubling, the paper documented that higher rates of other situations short of death. In fact, they report a decline in health, a mental health, an ability to conduct activities of a daily life. In fact, one professor told CNN, he said, "Really, there's more despair and worse health than at any point." In fact, one professor even said, "It appears there is an epidemic of hopelessness." An epidemic of hopelessness. Hopeless, despairing, despondent, desperate, all describe an absence of hope. This is not an uncommon scenario. In fact, even in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 12, and they said, "There is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination's evil of our heart." In other words, there is Jeremiah, they spoke, the prophet talked about a time when there was no hope. And so because of no hope, I'll just do what I want to do. In fact, Ephesians 2:2. But before we do that, Job 7:6, "My days are swifter than the weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope." Ephesians 2:12, he said this, that at that time, Paul speaking of all of those, and even us today, that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in this world. A hopelessness. The world's idea of hope is simply an expectation or a desire, an expression of a desire or wish that maybe it'll get better. But can I tell you, if it was that, we would of all men be most miserable. Because the truth is, the world's definition of hope is thankfully not the Bible's definition of hope. The world brings us to a point where there is no hope. If it doesn't happen the way I anticipate it to happen, then there is no hope. But however, can I tell somebody here today, the Bible's expression of hope is an expression of certainty. It is not, "I hope the rapture comes." because it will come. I hope my life gets better. There is a certainty when the Word of God brings us to an understanding of this glimmer of hope that slowly begins to break on the horizon of our lives. It's signifying the closing out of the night, and it gives us an understanding, yet also the dawn of a new day of hope that comes calling to us. For there is a day when hope comes calling to us. But 1 Thessalonians, Paul spoke to the Thessalonian church in 2:18 and 19. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Why? For what is our hope? Our joy, our crown of right, joy, rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Recognizing there is a hope to the Colossian church in 1:23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, I'm thankful. Yes, there are things that try to battle against our hope and the joy, pleasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can we understand that, oh, if you'll just hold on, if you'll just wake up and understand, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, at which I was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am I made minister. There is a hope. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. An understanding that this world is not my home. The hope of this world is fleeting, but for a moment of expectation that it may get better. But there is a hope beyond hope. There is a joy beyond joy. He said, what is the hope of his calling? And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us unto who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, that when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, hey, there is a hope that comes when you begin to recognize about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It brought a new hope. It brought a new day. It brought a new joy because of his resurrection. Why? Because that hope brought it to far above, a place far above all principalities, far above all power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which also is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth it all. Hope. What is this thing called hope? Hope. The Word of God gives us a hope for transformation and power. Sometimes we can get to a point where we forget about the transformation and power that can come through this great thing called hope. You see, it's that great understanding. Recently, preaching at a church, a good friend of mine, David Bounds, in Parkersburg, West Virginia. His father started many churches, and David Bounds has assisted through that, and he's now pastoring one of the churches there in Parkersburg that his dad started several years ago. But one day, the pastor, he met Justin behind the church. And of course, the pastor, David Bounds, invited Justin to church, and he prayed for him. It was there that Justin repented of his sins, and he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name. I met Justin a few weeks or months ago, and Justin, he's got a big Buddha tattoo on his neck.
He's covered in tattoos. Justin's past. He was in prison for 15 years. He's only 34 years old. His dad was murdered when he was 12 years old. The truth of the matter was, after Justin received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hope came into his life, unlike he ever understood in the past. For you see, what Justin did after receiving the Holy Ghost was he went and found the man that murdered his father, and face to face he said to him, I just wanted to find you to tell you one thing. I forgive you. But it hadn't stopped there with Justin. For you see, there and after that, he contacted his grandmother, and he told his grandmother, he said, I just want you to know, grandmother, I just love you so much. Something happened to me the other day. I found a church, and it was a glorious church. And he said, I just want you to know, I got baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. His grandmother began to weep on the phone, and she said, oh, Justin, you have no idea. I have prayed for you for years. I attend the same type of church you walked into, and I've been praying that God would deliver you. Not only did God deliver him, but Justin, after a little over a year, is now the outreach director at that church. He's now a boss, driving a company truck, working a great job. What happened? Hope stepped on the scene. Joy showed up. Hope came calling to Justin. That hope of transformation and power happened in the same church. Phil, before church, one day, Pastor Bounds was asked, oh, can you pray for somebody who just died down the street? Well, they had a little prayer. Said, God, touch the family. Touch those people who are dealing with the circumstances and situation down there. And he prayed. Well, after church started, a group walked in late. And this 7-foot tall man walked in with them. What they didn't know, and the pastor didn't know at that moment, was there was more to the story. Later he found out that the guy who had OD'd and died was actually the 7-foot tall guy that walked in their building. You see, he overdosed on heroin. They gave him a shot to revive him. And after they revived him, they said, we got to take you to the hospital. He said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm going to that church I've been walking by every day for the last several months. I just got to go get there, because if I can get there, I'm going to be delivered. Can I tell you, when he walked in that church, the power of God moved and God delivered him. Oh, I'm talking about when hope, it comes calling. Phil, the 7-foot tall guy, he's now an usher. He's been completely delivered from heroin. He said, what AA and Heroin Anonymous couldn't do, God did for me in one service. Phil, he's now a manager at a Cheddar's restaurant. Can I tell you, it's the day that hope, it comes calling to our lives. Comes calling for transformation. It came calling for the same church. A lady by the name of Angie, she had been found overdosed with a needle in her arm. But today, Angie now has the Holy Ghost and been baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ and is a manager at a Wendy's. But not every one of us struggle with addictions like I talked about. Sometimes hope walks in and gives us a realization and a remembrance that there are strengths in trials. Romans 5:1-5 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into grace, wherein we stand and rejoice. What is that in? What is it? Hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Somebody said, that's messed up. That's not what I want to hear. Right. By the way, he's not talking about the Great Tribulation, okay? He's talking about we're going to draw in just trials, stuff, junk, things going to happen. He said, but here's the thing. Here's the catch. He said, by whom also, he said, and also not, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation, it works patience. Well, don't ever pray for patience. I heard somebody was ignorant enough to pray one time for patience. Well, according to that scripture, if you want patience, the first thing is you're going to get your teeth knocked in. You're going to go through some stuff. And that's going to help you be patient. God, I don't need any more of that stuff. But wait a minute. Because the patience, it brings experience. Because I've been through some things, I recognize that, well, there's some experience that I have. That I'm not going to bolt every time there's a trouble. That it's going to be okay. God is going, because through that experience, there's something else that shows up. And that is called hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, there's hope in trials. But there's also hope for what God promised us. How many God has promised you something? Anything? Has God ever promised you anything? Can I see a show of hands of people that have received promises? Now, is there anybody that's received a promise that you haven't gotten it yet from God? Well, there's hope for what God promised. Where's that found? In Romans 4:18, he said, this is talking about a man by the name of Abraham. I love this, the way it's worded. Who against hope? Who against hope believed in hope. Well, have you ever been that way? You've ever been there? This doesn't even make sense. There's no way this is possible. There's no way I can get out of this situation in my life. There's no way I can get hope in this circumstance in my life. I'm not even sure that God can fix this. Against hope. Believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And then there's that word, and being fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. There are things in our lives sometimes that we cannot see the light of day. We don't even know what's going on. We don't understand the circumstances and the trials, the tribulations, the struggles. We don't understand what's happening. But I'm telling somebody today, if you'll just keep your eyes on a word called hope, because against hope, believing in hope, understanding that it may not even be in the realm of possibilities. But when God shows up, there is a faith, there is a confidence, there is an assurance. No, it's not an expectation, it's a promise. It's a promise when hope comes calling. Yes. And yet, when this thing called hope comes showing, shows up, It changes everything. For you see, the real hope that we have, it's not about this world. But that's kind of hard to say. It's even harder to hear. It's not about this world. This book, this great precious book that we have called the Bible. It's not about us just trying to make it through this thing called life and just be dead and it's over. But there is something that is far superior to the very essence. The reason we have such a hard time describing this book at times, the reason we have such a hard time trying to fit words like hope into our vocabulary is because we humanize it. We want God to fit in our box instead of us to fit in God's box. Because if I can compartmentalize God and I can relegate it to nothing more than this world, Paul said, if it's all about this world, I'm miserable. And I don't know how many times we hear preachers preach on heaven anymore, but I'm not hearing it a whole lot. We're not talking about heaven much anymore. Because maybe it's the fact that we in Americans, our poorest, are the richest in the world. Maybe it's a simple fact that God's blessed us with things because we have given, as your pastor so beautifully preached and taught this morning about our giving and our support to the work of God and our paying tithe, and God blesses us. But I am so thankful for the blessings of God. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, we can begin to perceive that this world is our hope, that what can happen to me next week and next month is my hope. But can I tell you, there is a something far superior to the hope of this world. The hope of this world brings to us nothing more than an epidemic of hopelessness, an epidemic of all. I've got everything, but I don't really have anything at all. Why is it that people, I could go through the list, there'd be people, individual after individual, it seemed like they had the world at their fingertips. Power, money, fame, fortune, and yet take their own lives. And we say, what happened? What took place in their lives? Because all this stuff leads to emptiness. But yet there is a hope that is far superior. What is it? You know, I was reading the other morning. I was just simply reading in the book of Acts. I read that little scripture of just a little explanation of the story of the transformation of this man by the name of Saul. What a transformation. Folks, we as the church better remember, God can transform the hardest core sinner. When was the last time we went after a Saul of our community? Oh, he's the guy that's going to, you know, he was such that really nobody even wanted to witness to him. I ain't telling him what I believe. Why? He'll kill me. Have you read his bio? Have you read his Facebook page? He doesn't like us. And not only does he not like us, he wants to kill us. You've got to be pretty hardcore when the only one that wants to witness to you is God himself. Yeah. But God saw something in Saul that no human being could possibly see, because in our human ingenuity, we're thinking about hope. Well, that's a hopeless situation. He's not ever able to accomplish. He'll never be like us. Oh, even to the point of after him being stopped on a road, blinded, and the voice of God showing up to one of his men and said, I want you to go talk to him. The man of God said, who, me? I'd prefer not. Not him. God, don't you know what he's been doing? I like to live. God says, you need to go. Because see what I've done. I blinded him so I could change his eyesight. I put upon him a weakness that he can't get out of. But whenever he spoke to me, he knew who I was, because he answered, who art thou, Lord? You get over there and do. Why don't you get your hand in the wheel and you just let me drive this thing? Why don't you get in the car while I do what I'm going to do? Because he's about to do what none of you have the guts to do. He's going to go change the world. Hey, can I tell somebody here today, you may feel like your hope is relegated to what the world perceives and what the world wants to bring about in your life. But can I tell you, there is a far greater hope than all of these. Get your eyes off the world. Get your eyes off the stuff. Get your eyes on him. Because it's, but see, hope, this guy who, you talk about the greatest transformation really in the Word of God. We've got a guy who was killing Christians, now willing to die for Christ. Tell me that's not transformation. Tell me that's not hope. But we've got to get our understanding that Paul said, you know, if the hope of this world is all I have, I am miserable. See, the early Christians knew. They knew something. It wasn't about what they experienced today. Who were these people? That would stand. Now, I've been to the Roman Colosseum and they currently deny that this ever happened. But I'm sorry, history tells a different story. They will emphatically tell you, oh no, no Christians were ever killed here. Pardon me, but I have to use a little bit of whatever. Who were these people? What type of... Did they have a different Holy Ghost than us? No. That same Spirit. But you see, he said, if that same Spirit dwell in you. It was something that so changed their whole perception. Who were these people that when their own lives and the lives of their own children were set before them, we'll kill you. The animals will tear your children limb for limb apart. You must recant your faith. Folks, I know we live in the United States of America, and I'm not about to get political here, but I believe we were so close the last... Two years ago, we were so close to things happening on a rapid pace that we cannot even imagine. And I believe God has given us a space of time, but I do not believe it's forever. I believe we are given a space of time, an opportunity. It's easy to be a Christian, but just a, oh, you just wait. The governor of California currently has a bill. Maybe you've heard about it. You've been talking about it. There's a bill before the House of Representatives and Senate now that the governor is saying he wants the bill. And it's basically to outlaw any opportunity. You really, they say it's not about the Bible, but here's the deal. They are going to outlaw the ability for anyone to sell or produce literature that will in any way try to attempt to talk or to teach or to transform someone who calls themselves a homosexual. If you try to change that person, you will be in violation of the law. We're not that far. Canada, already they're going after tax. They don't want, and then Canada is just a few steps ahead of us. You cannot, I could not stand in a pulpit and preach against homosexuality in Canada because it's hate speech. Here's the next step. They're already saying in Canada they're going to take away the ability for churches to be tax exempt. So which means here's the catch. If you do not subscribe and allow homosexuality, this is the catch, then we'll take away your ability to be tax exempt. So which means everything that you give to that charity is not, it's now still taxable money. And the property is no longer tax exempt. It's kind of scary, isn't it? But I'm not here to scare you. My point is this. It's not about this world. There is something far greater than this. What was it that caused these men and women and husbands and wives to literally watch their own and allow them their own selves to be torn apart? What was it? It was something called hope. It was not about this world. And can I tell you, we as apostolics in this era of time must put our heads not in a lateral, not in a, just to simply look around and see what I need and what I can, but we must look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. It's not about this world. It's about the hope. You see, and I'm finished. If your musicians want to come, but I'm finished. Colossians 1:27 says this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Christ in us. The hope, the anticipation, the expectation, or is that the certainty? Christ in us brings a certainty of glory, an anticipation of hope that is far above, even to the Titus church. To Titus, he said this, 1:2, he said, in hope, let's put that word certainty, in certainty of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world began. Titus 2:13-14, looking for that blessed hope, that blessed certainty, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:5, for the hope, for the certainty of which is laid up for you in heaven, where have ye heard before the word of the truth, heard it before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Certainty, hope, this hope of the resurrection, this hope of our future. Would you stand with me today? It's not about today. It's about assurance and a certainty that one day the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. It's hope. It's hope today. There's a great sweet presence of the Lord that's in this place today. I feel like somebody needs to come today. Maybe it's just a good day for all of us to come today and just say, God, I know there's things we're battling. I know the things that, God, I want my hope, my certainty to be found in the knowledge that, God, you're going to come again. You're going to come back for this church. It's going to be a glorious church. And God, you have heaven. Oh, he's got heaven on his mind. Why don't we put heaven on our mind?